Is there really a God composed of all love and true light? Welcome to The Truth Be Told, presented by Beloved of God Ministries, dedicated to revealing the true nature of God and the reliability of the Scriptures as the will of God to us and for us. Now, let's join our brother in Christ, Lawrence Penarello, for The Truth Be Told.
Did you know we live in a universe that has only three spatial dimensions? Science tells us we are limited to length, width, and height, and can only travel along three perpendicular paths. Physicists have theorized there is a fourth dimension. Einstein's theory of relativity calls it time. But the truth be told, there actually is a fourth dimension the Bible calls the love of God in Christ that passes knowledge. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, it says, "And you," or "even you," "and you," and "me too," "hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation or manner of life," the way you conduct your life, "in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Well, that's not a very pretty pedigree or picture. "By nature, the children of wrath." The Scriptures tell us where we were and what a world we lived in, what a world our lives revolved in. We see in our times, just as an example, someone commits what we call a white-collar crime. He embezzles from a firm, loses people's pension plan or something like that. He gets 25 years to life. In another situation, someone molests or rapes a child and they want to give him probation. Even if he goes to jail, he's out in less than 6 months. It just shows you that the priorities of this world, what's important to them. But we were all a part of this insanity, one way or another. We risk our lives or someone else's flying down the freeway because we might be 5 minutes late for work. The terrible things people say and do to each other. It's a shameful world, and yet we have all gotten caught up in it somehow or another. Verse 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." His great love! Boy, Tony the Tiger couldn't have said it better. Great love! The word great means exceeding great in number. Too big a number. It's like trying to count to infinity, and I guess and beyond. So many times we sort of flippantly say, "God loves you," or, "Oh well, God loves me." If our hearts could only know the depth of what we are saying. In this magnificent prayer of Ephesians in chapter 3, verses 16 through 19, it says that he, God, would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, look at that, the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, in order that Christ may dwell in your hearts by believing faith, in order that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. Imagine getting to experience a love that passes knowledge. It's so majestic, there are no words to describe it. This is a new dimension of love, the breadth and length and depth and height of love that surpasses knowledge. As men and women of the flesh, we only see in three dimensions. We can see the breadth, how wide something is. We see the length, how long something is. Even the height, how tall it is. But the one dimension we cannot see is depth, because it's an inside measurement. That is why we must be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. The love of God in Christ is four-dimensional. The great researcher and teacher, Dr. E.W. Bullinger, says in his notes, "In breadth, it is boundless. In length, it is endless. In height, it is measureless. And in depth, it is fathomless." This is the great love wherewith He loved us, and we are to live and comprehend with our fellow believing ones this same love. Now let's go back to chapter 2 and look at verse 5 as we continue this study. It says, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved." You know, it was not when we were good enough or worthy enough, not even when we were sorry enough, He loved us. The word quicken means to make alive. This word dead, even when we were dead in sins, this word dead has the concept of one given over to death. In Satan's world, we were doomed. We were given over to death. Like we've perhaps seen in that prison movie, every place we go, it's just dead man walking here, dead man walking here. It's like living on death row. As far as you're concerned, you're already dead. You're just waiting for the actual event to happen. Someone says, "But I keep the Ten Commandments." First, there are a lot more than 10 if you're going to be keeping the law. The scriptures say you're a debtor to keep the whole law. But let's just take the first one. "Thou shalt have no strange gods before me." Ever have a lucky rabbit's foot? According to the law, you're worthy of death. Ever make a wish and blow out the candle? I'm not trying to be absurd, but we walked according to the course of this world. Now, there's nothing wrong with birthday cakes and candles and those kinds of things. That's not the point. But all of these things, we were worthy of death until Christ came and He quickened us together with Him. Maybe I can help you to sort of understand how deep this really goes. Someone receives the death penalty for a crime. Like in the olden days of England, the judge may sentence him to be hung by the neck until dead. You know, they want to make sure it's not just hung by the neck, he's hung by the neck until he's dead. Outcome-based education, I guess, or something. But anyways, that's the sentence he gets. So he's taken to the gallows, and they get him up on the platform. They put the black bag over his head so you don't see his eyeballs popping out or something. And they put the rope around his neck, and then they drop the trap door. The camera cuts to the boots. You know, you see a few kicks as he dangles there, and then the doctor checks, and he's dead. Has he paid his debt to society? Yes. He hung by the neck until he was dead. Now, if we could put life back into him, and when I teach, I tend to execute more men than women. But if we could put life back into him, should he be free to go? Right? If he did, what will happen to him? Well, he still has the same mind. He still thinks the same way. He has the same nature. Nothing's changed. So he'll probably end up in the gallows again for a repeat performance. But verse 5 says, He quickened us together with Christ. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4. The words tell us, according as His divine power hath given past tense, unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Well, that's a little bit different. You're getting a different nature. We were given a new nature and access to live according to that new nature. Now let's go to Romans chapter 6. In verse 4, it says, therefore we are, or were, remember he hath given, buried with him by baptism into death, like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. We were quickened together. Even so, we should walk in the newness of life. You see, we don't have to wait any longer for the event of death and then get a new nature and a new everything new. We have access to this newness of life now. We no longer have to be dead man walking here, dead man walking. A newness of life, a divine nature to live by. Boy, you talk about great love, it has reached a new dimension. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. In Romans 8, verses 9 through 12, it says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God, his gift at the time of the new birth, dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Thereby we can walk with this new nature right now, still being in our fleshly bodies, waiting for the event of death, but living the newness of life. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. The debt's been paid. We're free to go. Then verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. It's really the spirit of sonship. In the Greek, the word translated adoption or sonship, it's the same word. And in this case, it should be sonship because we have God's seed within us. We're born again, and that's sonship. We're not adopted. It's the same word in the Greek. We're sons by birth, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Abba is a term in the Aramaic as a term of endearment, like we cry, Daddy. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, it says, now we have received not the spirit of the world. It's also called the spirit of man, the nature of man, that old nature, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We've received something from God at the time of our new birth that gives us access to change. This far exceeds the self-help of the power of positive thinking. I sincerely believe in positive thinking. I used to read volume after volume of all of these self-help books on the topic. I read about the power of positive thinking. I knew I needed to be positive. But you know, then I would look in the mirror and still see the same face I had with all of my faults and failings staring right back at me. And I'd think, well, what have I got to be positive about? I'm still the same guy. But God added something brand new in me, something that could make me overcome my faults or help me to overcome my faults, be more than a conqueror. I wanted a second chance at life, and he not only gave me a second chance, but he gave me access to be more than a conqueror.
We'll be right back to our message in a moment. We invite you to visit our website to learn more about Lawrence Panarello's new book, The True Justice of a Just God. Alejandra Vernon, a top 25 reviewer for Amazon.com, calls it an inspiring work that will fill you with hope and love. Exquisitely written, it has a simplicity and graceful beauty in its style that is a rarity in this age. It is a joy to read, not only for the power of its thoughts, but also for the words chosen to express them. If you would like to order a copy, a link is provided at our website, www.myinternetchapel.org. If you're being blessed by the good news shared by Beloved of God Ministries and would like to support our global mission, we thankfully receive your tax-deductible gifts and contributions through our website or by mail at Beloved of God Ministries, Post Office Box 0894, Westerville, Ohio 43086. If you've missed our contact information, it will be repeated at the close of our broadcast. Now for the conclusion of today's message, here's Lawrence Penarello.
Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 6, it says, "And hath raised us up together." Isn't that something? It's always together with Christ. "And made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us through Christ." The word "show" means to place on display. It will be a display of the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness, and we will be the display. "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." So why act as if we've earned it and turn our nose up at other Christian brethren and groups when it was by grace? Verse 9. "Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." The word "workmanship" is that thing produced with effort and design. This thing is us. We are the workmanship created in Christ Jesus. And if it's produced by God with effort and design and created in Christ Jesus, it's got to be his masterwork of perfection. It's a creation. It's not one size fits all, so to speak. That means every time someone is born again, God creates that spirit connection for him or for her. It's a custom fit and specially designed with you in mind. Speaking of our physical bodies, the Bible says we are fearfully and awesomely made. This spirit in us is a creation. That leaves our physical bodies in the dust. Christ in you is a masterpiece. You know, I've been told that Michelangelo's Pietà is so magnificent that people can sit for hours gazing at it. When I visited the Grand Canyon, it left me dumbstruck at its grandeur. Watching my newborn grandson, I could hardly take my eyes off him. Still can't. But this creation in us is more splendid than all the works of art, the serene beauty of nature, and the majesty in the stars in heaven. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm sure someone has remarked that there's something different about you, or something about you that they see. In this life, while we walk in the newness of life, we depict God's sovereign brilliance to the world. For those who have a hunger of heart and eyes to see, flashes the awesome craftsmanship of the Creator. Rippling under our flesh is this glorious masterpiece waiting to be revealed. Then comes the unveiling in the Believer's Hall of Fame, where we won't be standing on pedestals, but will be the living, moving depiction of his exceeding grace and kindness, the good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in. every heart won for Christ and the love of God will be personified. It's part of the reason that at the resurrection of the just, every knee shall bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. As we live the love life of a believing one today, we give people a window into the fourth dimension of love and a portal into eternity. If God can so love us, we should love Him back and utilize what He has freely given us. Nothing gives me greater joy than to see my grandchildren delighted in the present I gave them and enjoying it. As Paul encouraged those believing ones at Philippi in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, only let your conversation, your manner of life, be as it becometh the gospel, the good news of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, and that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospels, the good news. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Walk like one who is beloved. The word called is a summons or an invitation, what you've been invited to. My wife and I were out to dinner, and a group of young people came into the restaurant on their way to their prom. The young ladies had on their gowns and the young men their tuxedos. And there were a variety of colors, I think mostly in the tuxedos, as each expressed their individuality, but they were unified on where they were summoned to and invited. As each new couple arrived, they were heartily greeted, and you could tell they were very proud of each other. Then the scriptures say, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Can you walk in the fourth dimension of love? What gives us the lowliness and the meekness is that we have come to the conclusion that God knows what He's doing. The love of God transcends and lifts us up above familial traditions. We rise above ethnical biases, racial prejudices, religious superstitions, tribal customs, and cultural taboos, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is not an ecumenical endeavor. We cannot compromise our way into the unity. It's a unity God set in His magnificent creation in us. We are just exhorted to keep it by putting forth a diligent effort to live this four-dimensional love. And there we will find the spiritual unity. If you can't really see it, it's because you're still looking through three-dimensionally, and you're missing its fathomless depth. The bond is that which ties it together. Like in the Old Testament when Abigail told David, yet a man rise up to pursue thee and seek thy soul, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. Boy, it can't be unbound spiritually. When we walk and judge by our five senses, we'll miss our part in that bundle and the joy and peace intended for our lives. There is one body, one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. We're no longer dead men walking, but the living, breathing display of God's handiwork in us. We are to no longer be captivated and live according to the courses of this world, fulfilling the lusts of the flesh and of the mind. The debt's been paid, and we can walk in the newness of life. We too have been wrapped in the bundle of life with our Lord. You know, the equation has changed because God has added something new in us. It is a boundless, endless, measureless and fathomless love. Let's live together the love of Christ that passes knowledge in all the fullness of its dimensions.
Thank you for joining us today for The Truth Be Told, a listener-supported presentation of Beloved of God Ministries. To assist us in spreading the good news of Jesus Christ, your contribution for our global mission can be made through our website at www.myinternetchapel.org or by writing to Beloved of God Ministries, Post Office Box 0894, Westerville, Ohio 43086. We'll talk again next week. Join us for The Truth Be Told.